if you're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KVOI.
Part of that was incorrect for the moment. Paul J. Schneider has left. He's going to Corvallis to tomorrow's football game, so he has taken off. He's got a plane to catch.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
And so,
he didn't say he was flying.
I am still Chris Walton, as I normally am, and Nate Shellman is here and awake at this time of day. So, well, that's fantastic.
I'm at least here. I'm okay. At least, yes, I'm definitely here.
Well, you seem somewhat animated.
So. Yes, yeah. I've had at least three cups of coffee.
This is what we call Open Phones Friday. We're going to start it right now. Open Phones Friday. Call us, and I'll give you the number, 336-3700. 336-3700. That's if you're in the Boise area. If you're somewhere else in the world, 1-800-529-KBOI, 1-800-529-5264. If you have a Verizon wireless phone, #670. If you'd prefer, you can send us an instant message. Do that by going through our official KBOI website, KBOI.com.
You can email you. You can email me right from there.
Yeah, anything you want. April of Boise says former Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis is a passionate man. With that, it shouldn't be surprising that he has a strong take on recent shootings involving the police. Lewis said on Thursday that as a black man, you're fearful to walk out of your house now. Following a Super Bowl 34 party in Atlanta on January 31st, 2000, a fight broke out between Lewis and his companions and another group of people, resulting in the stabbing deaths of Jacinth Baker and Richard Lawler. Lewis and two companions, Reginald Oakley and Joseph Sweeting, were questioned by Atlanta police, and 11 days later, the three men were indicted on murder and aggravated assault charges. The fight occurred about 200 yards from the Cobalt Lounge at 265 East Paces Ferry Road in the Buckhead Village neighborhood. I see that she's copied me on a story that's fairly long. But, you know, the point being that Ray Lewis is only now afraid to go out of his house, even though apparently he's been accosted by strangers for most of his life.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people that are afraid to go out with Ray Lewis.
Yeah, good point. Not as much as, say, like Ray Rice, but still. And Johnny B. of Boise says, on a somewhat lighter note, a second lawsuit has been filed over the Rams' move to Los Angeles, this time by holders of personal seat licenses who say they should retain their right to seat licenses and season tickets in California. The suit was filed last week in St. Louis County. Messages seeking comment from the Rams were not returned. The suit alleges that the PSL agreement is valid through 2025, but does not stipulate where the games are played. It seeks class action status for more than 50,000 other PSL holders. Another lawsuit accuses Rams owner Stan Kroenke and Chief Operating Officer Kevin DeMoff of deceiving fans by claiming the team had no intention of leaving St. Louis, violating Missouri's Merchandising Practices Act.
Having lived through one of these, it's sticky.
Yeah, because the Cleveland Browns years ago left and became the Baltimore Ravens. But I like what they did. They retained the name
rights
so that when a few years later, when they were an expansion team, they were still the Cleveland Browns.
Which didn't happen immediately. That was not an immediate
It was a few years later.
I guess the people in St. Louis are more than welcome, if they want to retain their PSLs, to fly to L.A. Sunday.
I think the only time in history that a team moved from one city to another and then there was an expansion team that took over in the other city.
Right.
Was 1961, the Washington Senators moved to Minnesota to become the Minnesota Twins, and then Washington that same year was granted an expansion team. So fans of the Senators were still fans of the Senators in 1961, but they had all new players.
Okay.
Everybody was new.
Wow.
And all the guys they liked, like Harmon Killebrew, went to Minnesota.
Had already taken off.
Yeah.
Open Line Friday, 336-3700, 336-3700. Let's check in with Mike in Boise. Mike, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning. I'd like to talk about the situation that happened over at Mountain Home at the high school with the painting of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very disappointed in the superintendent of schools there, the way he came across, that he supports the students and he does this and First Amendment, and part of that is fine. But maybe I'm aging myself, but if I would have done something like that in high school, protest, I probably would have been kicked out of school right before my parents came and slapped me upside the head. And they're sent there to go to school. And if they want to do a protest after school, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the principal okayed something. The school district was supposed to have the final say-so. It didn't work. The girl that did the mural on the parking lot, she was in the paper today, the Statesman, a very intelligent, very smart girl, I think. And so whether it was the Black Lives Matter or whatever, my concern is where are we teaching the kids that the protest is okay, leave school, do this, and then the next thing, they take it one step further 10 years down the road, and we're knocking out windows and police cars, and now I'm taking it to the extreme. But again, my concern is they're there to go to school. And if they want to protest after school, that should be fine. But for the the superintendent and principal to let it go on during school time, I just don't get it.
I think that when I was in high school, I graduated in 83. And when I was in high school, we really didn't have any protests. There wasn't much going on back then that we needed to protest. But if somebody had walked out of class for a protest, the protest would have been acknowledged. But, yeah, they would have had to pay the consequences for just walking out of class and skipping school.
Donald Trump's fundraiser brought out quite a crowd. It also brought out supporters and protesters. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Idaho Talks Live, 852. Chris Walton along with Nate Shellman this morning.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
I like this.
The words Nate and Shellman and morning don't often go together,
nope,
but today
nope,
they do.
Nope, especially not this week.
And,
I'm glad I woke up for it.
Yeah, you're going to be someplace interesting this afternoon, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to be at CHF Home Furnishings.
Do you know what the greatest thing is about doing a show from a CHF is that you can sit in the most comfortable chairs in the entire world.
And take your choice of the color you like.
Oh, exactly.
Go shopping during the breaks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be out there for Rant and Rave Friday later this afternoon for from 3 to 7.
Got an instant message here. It's Open Phones Friday. You can talk about what you want to. 336-3700 is our number to call. An instant message from Bob. It says, okay, it's time for the Attorney General to brand Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization. Will the black Attorney General Loretta Lynch do this? As much chance as an ice cube surviving in my hot tub. President Race Bader has put this, that's not his real name, is it? President Race Bader has put this country on the verge of a race war, all intended. Great job by the traitor in the White House. On the positive side, every time there is a riot, more people are going to vote for Donald Trump. Interesting. Did you see the thing yesterday where the Trump representative from the state of Ohio said that, as far as she could remember, there had never been racism before Obama was president?
Had never seen it.
And I thought to myself, you know, I bet other people can remember it.
Kathy Miller resigned, called the comments inappropriate. Trump campaign state director called the comments inappropriate. Kathy Miller's statement was...
Her own comment.
Yeah, her own comment was, I don't think there was any racism until Obama got elected. We never had problems like this. I'm in the real estate industry. There's none.
I think what she meant to say was, I never had problems like this.
That might have been it.
Herself.
Now, as far as the whole Black Lives Matter movement goes, I guess 70% of the people arrested in Charlotte were from outside of North Carolina.
Is that right?
Outside the state.
Okay.
So,
And in Tulsa... Well, you know, in Tulsa, it was a completely different deal. In Tulsa, the police reduced or they released the video right away. They showed it to everybody, and everybody says, well, it doesn't look like the guy was doing anything. And they said, okay, let's bring the police, a woman, as it turned out, up on manslaughter charges. So they did that, and people gathered in churches and prayed, but nobody rioted.
Yeah, there were demonstrations, there were protests, and like you said, there was no violence.
Yeah.
And I got to wonder if we would have heard of what happened in Charlotte had it not been for the violence
ensued. It's a good question. Bob has written in to say, in case you talk about the effect of the riots in North Carolina. Here is my opinion. Every time something like this happens, it means more votes for Trump. Why do I say this? Because those voting for Hillary will not change, and those voting for Trump will not change. But those who haven't made up their mind yet will look at this and say enough is enough. The cities where these riots have been happening have been run by Democrats for decades. The nation is ready for a change, and Hillary will not change from the disastrous policies of the last 8 years. I was wondering, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because people say, well, you know, you look at all these cities that Democrats have been running and they're full of poor people. Well, I kind of get the feeling that's why the Democrats were elected in the first place, because the cities were already full of poor people.
As far as all this goes, though, some people are trying to point back to George Soros being behind all this.
Mm-hmm.
George Soros is a Democrat. George Soros is a liberal.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody,
and he does donate large sums of money, which he has, by the way, to liberal causes.
Now, if all this violence benefits Donald Trump, why would George Soros be funding this?
Good question. Butterfly effect, I guess. 8:56. We'll be back with more news coming up at the top of the hour. It's Open Phones Friday on Idaho Talks Live.
You're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Idaho Talks Live. 906. Open phones Friday. Chris Walton along with Nate Shellman.
Good morning.
In for Paul J. Schneider as Paul J. heads for Corvallis today.
Indians' magic number is 4.
Is that right?
I'm telling you that because you didn't ask, but I'm happy.
I was going to mention this too. Boise State coverage starts on KBOI tomorrow morning at 8:30.
We're going to be at the Village watching the game on the big screen.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be. It's always a blast.
Yeah.
336-3700. Let's say hi to Joe in Boise. Joe, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning. You make me laugh a lot, so I appreciate that.
I try.
I listen to you the afternoon. Anyway, I just wanted to make a point. If Democrats get to be called the Democratic Party, shouldn't Republicans be called the Party of the Republic?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a Democratic Party.
Yeah, I know. I know. And Rush Limbaugh and a lot of other people have always said that it should be called the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
But the Democrat Party themselves refer to themselves as the Democratic Party, so I still slip into that from time to time.
Yeah. It aggravates me because it just makes them, like, you know, democratic is a system of government. It's not a party.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. The thing that's sticking
in your
craw. Get
that off my chest, okay?
I appreciate it.
Hey.
Good day.
Good day. I can go enjoy the weekend.
Johnny B. says, and the list goes on, and then has sent me kind of a link here. Welcome to the NCAA Student Athlete Concussion Injury Litigation website. This is fairly long, but there is going to be a class action suit. The trouble with class action lawsuits is, every now and then I get a postcard that says I'm eligible to be involved in a class action lawsuit, and I can go to some website, give them my name, or just check in that I'm interested.
Right.
And then at some point, a year and a half later, they will send me a check for $4.
Oh, nice.
Because there are so many people in the lawsuit that, you know, they may have sued for $300 million, but my cut is $4. The law firm gets $100 million.
Yeah, well, it's an easy way to make $4.
Thank God for that. I'd hate for them to go hungry.
Let's say hi to Rich in Boise. Rich, morning.
Well, that woman was kind of right. I'm 63 years old, or 60, a little bit older. And I've never had a problem with racism either, but then I'm white. I remember the start of the civil rights movement when we first started hearing about it on TV, and black people were blamed as being troublemakers. The FBI was investigating them as being communist. They've been peaceably protesting. This isn't new. This cops beating up people and killing them. This isn't new to black people. This just didn't happen in the past 5 years. They've known about this for years. They've known about their friends and neighbors what has happened. And peaceable protests, they do not do squat. They make They have absolutely no influence whatsoever on anybody. I'm sorry to say, but that's how it is. We've had groups that peaceably protest downtown, that name the words thing, and they just get used to peaceful protests. People ignore it. It just doesn't accomplish anything.
Rich, do you mean that just now, or do you mean that always?
Oh, always. It never has. The civil rights movement, when the peaceful protests aren't what got attention to it. It's when the governor or whoever down there brought in the dogs and the fire hoses and the riot started. That's when, otherwise, people
that's when a lot of white people suddenly had sympathy for the cause because, you know, people were getting bit by dogs.
Yeah, and then people started listening to their side, and politicians started listening. You know, I'm not advocating riot. I'm just telling you they could peaceably protest this for the next 40 years and nothing would happen.
Hmm.
And the thing is, the only thing that, you know, there's just been film of it has been turned up lately, and just on a small percentage of them. If it wasn't for this video, you know, and the chances are that woman policeman, I bet she walks anyway. So that's really not going to help, but there's got to be, something done about this. I mean, are they killing unarmed white people like this? I don't know if it's just blacks or not, but it doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter if it's black policemen killing them, or if it's a black police chief, or if it's a Democrat city that it's happened. The fact is that people are being, you know, killed that shouldn't be killed. It doesn't matter what race they are. I don't care. Even if there were, if it was a white person that got killed, I'd feel the same.
But hold on, Rich. We don't know if the person in Charlotte didn't need to be killed. We don't know that. There's a tape, and the family has seen that tape. You have the police that maintain he had a gun. The family who wasn't there maintain he was reading a book. They've watched the tape, and they, according to their attorney, they don't know if he was holding, you know, what he was holding, if anything. So,
this is just one case. It's not about, that's what I'm trying to say, it's not about this case.
Well, I get what you're saying, but it kind of is, because in Charlotte, where they've had two nights of riots, and it's not because the mayor of Charlotte or the governor of North Carolina let loose water hoses or dogs on the crowd, it's because these protesters have gone out and robbed trucks, damaged cars, gone after police officers, gone after, also went shoe shopping, raided a Walmart.
Yeah.
You lose why they're protesting when the protesters are just using this as a guise to commit crime.
And just like Rich was saying, you know, when they got sympathy, the guys turned the fire hoses and the dogs on them, and they evoked sympathy back in the early 60s. When the same group of people is seen, you know, looting and rioting, I think that they don't get sympathy from the average person out there.
None whatsoever. 336-3700, 336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time. 9:18, Idaho Talks Live, open phones Friday. I'm Chris Walton along with Nate Shellman this morning.
Today's KBOI rewards code for the morning rewards code.
Dun, 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 dun.
Beavers. As in Oregon State.
As in Oregon State Beavers.
Right. Just type
or,
in.
Or virtually any other kind.
Yes. Just type in beavers at 670kboi.com.
That's kind of funny. The two most prestigious technical schools in the entire nation are MIT and Caltech.
Okay.
And both have, I don't think either one of them has football, but both have a basketball team called the Beavers.
I had no idea MIT had a...
Yeah, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Beavers.
Huh.
And I guess it makes sense because Beavers are basically engineers. You know, they can build a dam without even having plans.
While Luther and Chalice is talking, I'm going to be Googling and looking for pictures for the MIT basketball team. Luther! Morning. You're on 670 KBOI.
Good morning. Yeah, well, you know, before we brought all the black people into this country, we had to kill off all the red people. So we went around, and we killed off all the red people. My modem melted before I could get the whole list of the Indian Wars. Didn't even make it to the modern wars.
Yeah.
There's been so many. Now, so, down in Tucson, Arizona, there's a place called South Tucson. And
what part of town is it in? Just kidding. Go ahead.
It's, well, generally in the south.
Okay, yeah, I see.
And with a chunk going right towards the center of town. But anyway, in South Tucson, there's these rows of these cement block buildings that have one door each and no windows. And in those buildings live what's left of the Yaqui Indian tribe. They, unfortunately, chose the wrong side, okay, to join in the Spanish-American War. And, so they're the only tribe that don't have any homeland.
Now, was it the Spanish-American War or the Mexican War before that?
It was the last one.
Spanish-American.
Because everybody chose up sides. By that time, you were getting towards the end of the Indian Wars.
Okay.
And this war was going to happen, and everybody thought they were going to make out. And indeed, we did. We got California.
That does sound like fun.
But at any rate, so we have to think about this. And Donald Trump's not going to think about it, okay? His notions are to just deport everybody he doesn't like.
I thought he was just deporting the illegals.
He doesn't like
illegals. Anybody can be called determined illegal. Let's go get them, Broncos.
All right. Look up and find out more about the Yaqui tribe.
I was looking at MIT basketball while he was talking.
There are still a number of Yaqui Indians that actually live down in Mexico, too.
Yeah.
Quick instant message here from Sheldon, who says, since Colin Kaepernick began his peaceful yet powerful protest during the NFL preseason, we have seen other NFL players kneel in solidarity with him and with his cause. We have also seen more African Americans killed by police officers. The argument by so many has me confused. The logic of those who have ill feelings toward Kaepernick and his stance is as follows. Shut up and be happy that no one forces you to shut up. This country is great because you are allowed to complain and speak your mind, so shut up and stop complaining and speaking your mind. I am dumbfounded by so many who are angry with Kaepernick. His protest is peaceful and yet backed up with specific facts and examples of police brutality against African Americans. If you disagree with his message, then that is great. But if you disagree with his provocative protest, then I would remind you that North Korea doesn't protest their anthem or flag at all. The only reason I can think so many Idahoans have ill feelings toward Kaepernick is because they are still upset over him running through Boise State defense like a hot knife through butter and costing us the Rose Bowl. Hey, I'm upset about that too, but that is football. It is fun. His protest is as American as apple pie. Disagreeing with his message is fine, but his protest should be celebrated as something that is as American as apple pie. And that's Sheldon. And I commend you for not blaming that loss purely on our kicker.
Well, at the same time, though, you can listen to his rationalization as to why he doesn't stand and still disagree with him. People are allowed to disagree.
Yeah.
At the same time, what some view as unjustifiable, others have viewed as justifiable.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at what happened in Tulsa. The officer's being charged with first-degree manslaughter.
Yeah. To a lot of people, what Kaepernick is doing doesn't. There's no more to it than just plain old disrespectful. You know,
right.
It's disrespect. But there are others who absolutely say if he weren't doing something, you know, on this big of a scale, that no one would notice it. And what's the point of a protest if no one notices it?
To Kaepernick's credit, though, I have seen worse things done to the flag other than not standing for it. Steve and Eagle.
Good point.
You're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, from the first night when all the looting and everything was happening, it seems like the crowds have died down. And I'm guessing that's because there's nothing else to loot.
And the National Guard had something to do with that, too.
Yeah, well, anything that's worth looting is probably being guarded pretty carefully right about now.
Well, no, it's like once they come in, they do their damage. It's like they settle down for a little bit, and then when they come back the next night and there's nothing else to loot, that's when usually the violence happens against individuals.
No, the violence happens two straight
days. Large groups, they aren't just protesters. They're thugs. They're criminals. And they're individuals who are angry and mentally disturbed going out there and doing as much damage and as much injury as they can in that little window that they have that's open where they can get away with it.
Okay. You know, and I appreciate the call. Not everybody who riots is probably doing so for pure reasons, you know, like strict protest or anger or, you know, years of oppression.
You mean not everyone who protests or not everyone who riots?
Well, not everyone who riots, I'm guessing. Because, you know, a lot of people, I think, just take advantage of a situation like that when they're looting. Okay, the police are busy. Let's, you know, to heck with everybody else. I'm going to go get mine.
I don't understand the whole
looting,
mentality.
The looting really has nothing to do with the protest.
No, that's opportunistic.
The protest, you know, is standing in the street, holding a sign, whatever, letting people know how you feel. But the throwing of the rocks, the looting, the burning stuff, you know, a totally different thing.
Open Line Friday continues. Nate Shellman, you're filling in for Paul J. 336-3700, 336-3700. Take more of your calls when we come back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 936, open phones Friday. On Idaho Talks Live, I'm Chris Walton with Nate Shellman in for Paul J. Schneider this morning. Got an instant message here. Bob says, I am pretty sure that Martin Luther King is rolling in his grave in regard to all the riots today. Mostly, these riots seem to be about looting. If it is about blacks being murdered, why no protests in Chicago? Because it's not about blacks being murdered. It's about blacks being unjustly killed by police who are afraid of them. And in Chicago, it's, you know, gangs and stuff killing each other. So there are a lot of problems, but they're only trying to solve one at a time.
Which is still a perception at this point in Charlotte. Everyone's accusing the police of being unjust.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to, you know, I don't think Charlotte, North Carolina is doing themselves any favors by they may not be able to release a video. They can release a picture. They can release a snapshot. I know there's an ongoing investigation, but. Yeah, let's go to Barry in Placerville. Barry, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Hey,
Barry.
Hey, just wanted to make a comment. You know, I listened to Rich, you know, trying to justify a violent protest over peaceful protests, and you know, I've listened to some of the black forums on the news and stuff where they get these guys together and they all talk about this issue and. You know, really what keeps coming up over and over again that I hear is they feel like because of slavery that they shouldn't have to be accountable for anything they do. They feel like they should just have a hands-off policy where the law is concerned with them and let them do whatever they want to do. And
well, slavery is a lot of it, but then it was slavery and then added to that 100 years of segregation.
Okay, well, let's stop and look at the slavery thing a little bit. I mean, you know, granted, there was slavery back in the day, but there was 50% of the country, I'm assuming, at least, that was against slavery, that fought to free the slaves.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of blood was spilled over freeing the slaves. And so when they accuse me of being a bigot or a racist, how do they know if I'm from the North or if I was one of the guys in the South? I mean, and that's how far removed this all is. And the other thing I'd like to, you know, comment on is, man, I am so tired of being a phobic. You know, if I don't agree with gays' lifestyle, I'm a homophobic. If I don't believe in Islamic, you know, domination of the world, I'm an Islamophobe. If I don't like, I mean, are they heterophobes because they don't, they choose not to be heterosexual?
I've never really liked that.
How many times are we going to have the government and the powers that be try and make the normalcy seem unnormal? And these guys that are, I mean, they're making it look like all of us have a problem when they're the minority and we're the majority. I don't understand that. I mean, do you guys have a take on that?
I have a little take on it. I mean, I think it's okay to disagree with somebody or not accept something. That doesn't mean you hate them. That
right.
doesn't mean you
yeah, I've always
wish
had a problem.
Ill upon them.
I've always had a problem with that kind of language. I think you can find something distasteful or simply not like it without necessarily having, you know, being afraid of it. Like, you can not like something and not be afraid of it. Like, I'm not afraid of sauerkraut.
I don't like people that have 40 piercings in their head.
Okay.
Or,
but you're probably not afraid of them.
I'm not. Well,
you won't be afraid they'd explode.
I don't hate them. You know, I don't wish ill upon them. Why would you,
but,
you see that?
But also, and then, you know, when they say things are hate speech or hate this or hate that, and a lot of times I don't think it's a hate. I think there are certain behaviors, there are certain things that people, you know, say, okay, I don't want to be associated with that. I don't like it. But it doesn't mean you hate it or are afraid of it. But
we're not talking about the speech so much with Charlotte. We're talking about the actions.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a bunch of people going up and down the street that say, I hate white people, mm-hmm. or I hate white supremacy, or I hate the white culture. We're talking about people in Charlotte who have looted,
yeah.
who have, killed one protester.
Again, what I was trying to say last half hour about the looting and the burning and things like that. Those are obviously angry people. Maybe they're just opportunists. I don't know. But I don't consider them to be the heart of the protest. Those are fringe people that have come out and said, hey, I can get myself a big screen TV and a new pair of shoes.
I agree with
that. And, you know, they're just committing a crime.
Open line Friday, 336-3700, 336-3700. Paul J. is on a plane to Corvallis, Oregon. That's why mm-hmm. I'm here this morning.
Gary of Emmett says, amid rioting, a participant laments there are no shoes his size in the looted store. This is Charlotte. This is where a black officer shot a black man with a black police chief and a black mayor. This is not racial. This is revenge for perceived injustice. This is against the country and the society and the economic system the rioters would change. Venezuela is what they would get if their plans came true, as is the fate of socialist regimes run by radical dictators and gangs.
I hate going to the store when they don't have your size. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Let's go to Pete in Boise. Pete, you're on 670 KVOI. Go ahead, Pete.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I am a little skeptical that Hillary's collapse was due to pneumonia.
Yeah.
Clearly, she was boozed up. The same thing has happened to me at one Boise tailgate, BSU tailgating party. I woke up at home 8 hours later without a shoe. And if she shows up boozed up Monday for the presidential debates, mm-hmm. the DNC is going to have to toss her under the bus.
I see.
The problem with that is they chose her in the first place, so I'm a little bit leery about who they may choose.
Well, and you worded that well, because I know you were a Bernie supporter, and all the Bernie supporters I've heard from said that the DNC were the ones who simply chose Hillary Clinton.
There are a bunch of Bernie supporters out there. They're like a lost army whose general has surrendered, but they're still ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The DNC might choose Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren. So it's kind of up to I have a homework assignment for all your listeners, and
okay.
I'm betting you have maybe 8 or 12 this morning. It would be nice if we could pick the next replacement for Hillary. And I'm thinking of a Western governor, someone who's strong on the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And if Cease was not 200 years old, I would nominate. I would love to have him for president.
I think he's officially retired from public life.
I don't think he's interested in the gig.
And since I've withdrawn from the race, uh-huh. that kind of limits us a little bit.
Pete, you can always re-enter.
I don't want the job. Any job where the moment you're sworn in, every crazy person in the world starts trying to figure out how to kill you. I don't like a job like that.
But, I can see where that could be a problem.
Of course, now we know why Hillary drinks.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether Hillary drinks or not.
She probably does.
I mean...
not to the point where she collapses.
I think if I were Bill, I would.
Open line Friday. Take more calls when we come back.
If you use Your Health Idaho's marketplace, well, it's going to cost you more for insurance this coming year. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Nate and Chris.
KBOI News Time 949. Idaho Talks Live. Open phones Friday. Chris Walton along with Nate Shellman in for Paul J. Schneider. Don't forget we've got Oregon State versus Boise State tomorrow. Pregame starting right here on KBOI at 8:30 in the morning.
Let's go to Mark in Boise. Mark, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead.
Well, you know, these people protesting and rioting back there, they're basically, a lot of them probably have criminal history, criminal background. They're criminals just basically want to justify their criminal activities and behavior by rioting, looting, everything else. You know, and it... You know, I don't get one thing here. We supposedly have these anti-terrorism bills and things that have been imposed upon us, where white groups that protest or say things that are maybe negative or derogatory, or whatever, get attacked by the media, by Loretta Lynch's so-called Justice Department. Why is it these people that are being trucked in from out of states that are professional anarchists? Pretty much funded by George Soros and company and the Communist Party USA, why aren't they being taken and pulled aside? You know the FBI has probably files on these people, but they're not allowed to take these people out that are causing these things in the first place. And this is whether it's in Ferguson, wherever it is, Charlotte, anywhere in this country. We don't have a Justice Department anymore. They're basically controlled by a bunch of damn communist anarchists, as far as I'm concerned, because they're not going after the people who are initiating and instigating these riots.
Okay.
I mean, we have chaos. This is what I've warned about years past about what happens when you get these progressive socialists in our government, because they've taken over all aspects of our government here, from the Justice Department, Homeland Security, you name it. Look at Jay Johnson. Where is that piece of garbage? I mean, where is it? Where's Loretta Lynch in going after these anarchists, black, white, whatever? And then I'll tell you, they're not all 100% black people out there in these riots. I've seen white women. I've seen Oriental people, but majority are the black, and they're black thugs. And the white ones are white thugs. The Oriental ones, whoever they might be, they're thugs.
Let's just call them thugs then.
And this is something that happens, and it's sometimes we get swept up in it. Of course, we talked about that a little bit ago, that, you know, everybody says, well, you know, if you're a white guy, you must be racist. Or they think if you're Mexican, you have to do this or that. Or if you're black, you have to be part of this. There are people that are actually there that simply want to protest, that they think police go into a situation with a black person assuming something terrible is going to happen, and that they shouldn't. They should give them the benefit of the doubt the same way they would a white person when they're stopped, you know, in just a traffic stop or something. And so there are people that are just protesting that. But again, it's like he said, there are people that are being shipped in from other places to cause trouble. There are people that are just out there to you know, loot, and they're in just for themselves.
And there's a lot of dumb people out there.
Well, and that's a good point. But you can't really say it's, I mean, just because you're in the same group doesn't mean that you're doing the same thing the group is doing. Like, for instance, okay, the one caller said he doesn't know why he has to atone for slavery. He didn't do it.
Right.
And I do agree with that.
But that's on a larger space, but I think when you're part of a group, when you're part of a physical group that's located in an area, it's almost guilt by association at that point.
Well, it is guilt by association
until you leave that group.
But I'm just saying it shouldn't be. And, you know, and I don't really consider myself to be part of any particular group. I mean, I don't claim any groups.
Right.
You know, I may be just by virtue of, you know, birth or where I live or something like that. I am part of some groups, but you know, it's not like I attend meetings for it.
Let's go to Doug in Meridian. Doug, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, you guys. He was talking about the vigilantes, like the ones that they trucked in to Missouri. They came from other states just to start these riots. It's like with the Oakland Raiders. They've got a group of vigilantes, and if the Raiders are going into a playoffs and they lose or they win, They always destroy the town around it. But a lot of this is because of Black Lives Matters. You know, it's thanks to the administration. They're at most at the fall of that.
All right.
Okay. Curtis of Boise says, Sheldon, how come they're not protesting the black-on-black crime in Chicago? How come nobody ever protests that? Interesting, isn't it, how they pick and choose? People do protest that. They protest it in Chicago all the time. However, it's kind of hard to it's difficult to raise a group of people who are just going to simply rise up and tell their neighbors that they shouldn't be shooting each other. Well, it's much easier to protest something if it's a government function.
And people in Chicago who aren't part of gangs and who aren't doing drugs are against the gangs. They're against the drugs. They're against the violence.
Well, pretty much anyone who's shot didn't want to get shot. I can guarantee you that.
They're also out armed. There were a lot of people who were in Little Italy and New York and Chicago back in the day that were against the mob. But you know what? You really didn't see many people stand up to the mob back in the 1910, 1920, 1930, if they disagreed with their violence because, oh, by the way, they had more guns than you did.
Exactly. Dallas says, here's the thing. It's called football, not protest ball. Very simply.
He's right.
And James of Spokane says, Luther, if you're going to make claims about people's positions on things, at least make sure you don't contradict the positions that they have taken in writing and verbally. Your accusations on Trump and deporting people are false and misrepresent the truth. We have enough problems without the diversions of false accusations such as yours.
I'm going to be at CHF Home Furnishing starting at 3 o'clock. Chris, thanks for letting me sit in.
Oh, you bet. Join us tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. We'll have pregame for the Boise State game, kickoff at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Coming up, something to think about, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ. You can visit them at boisechurch.org. Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
The Wall Street Journal has uncovered something disturbing with the Clinton Foundation's work overlapping with their personal finances. The example used is a situation where the Fragrance Foundation, the trade association for the perfume industry, paid former President Bill Clinton $260,000 to give a speech in 2014. 3 months later, the Clinton Foundation funded an effort in Haiti to plant thousands of lime trees. Lime is a key ingredient in many perfumes and colognes, and the price had been driven high due to weather issues in Mexico. If thousands of more lime trees were planted in Haiti, the price of lime would likely go down, helping that same perfume industry that paid Clinton so handsomely to give that speech. A seemingly good deed, or decent enough, for Haiti, with a direct personal benefit to the Clintons. Seems that Clinton Foundation just can't stay out of the headlines. It's that old saying, fool me once, fool me twice, you get the drift. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.